The Bible reading for the sermon is the text which was just read, with special emphasis on Paul's insistence through these series of trials and attempts to witness. It is for this hope, namely the hope in the resurrection, that the Jews are trying to kill me. And then the question to Agrippa, why, O King Agrippa, do you think it's incredible that God should raise the dead? Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have kept us in life and faith to this moment. To this moment when we praise you and petition you that your Holy Spirit will be with us to help us to open the eyes of our hearers to whom we minister and lead them from darkness to light. Help us as we bring the message of the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus. Help us persuade them to grow in faith, that they and ourselves also may receive the inheritance of the saints for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Where in this world do we find people ready to listen to this emphasis on the hope of Israel, which was fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? When I was checking into the motel in Evansville this past weekend for the seminary Sunday, I saw a context of what one pastor of our church mentioned as a tragedy of this city, where 16 people were killed. I was only 150 feet and 48 hours from that north side of the motel where I had a reservation, next to the one which was struck. And as I came into the lobby, the National Guardsmen were sitting there in their dark green brown uniforms with their command post set up down the corridor to help in the rescue of the people, the shards picking up with a large crane higher than the four-story motel, the shards of the burned out fuselage of the plane. The American Red Cross Disaster Service is having its large red and white sign on the edge of the lobby, and the receptionist saying, "This has been awful." In this context, I spoke to one of the pastors of our church who was to conduct the funeral of one of the victims. He himself wanted to donate a kidney to his sister, who was dying of a kidney disease. When he took the exam prior to the donation, they found that he too had the disease, and that he too was going to die. Someone there in this city, now struck by tragedy, donated a kidney so that this pastor could live. And now he, this past Sunday, preached the funeral sermon of the close relative of the one who donated a kidney so that he could preach. It was in this context that I asked him, what should I tell the seminarians in chapel on Tuesday about what you call this tragedy which has hit this city? And he said, well, tell them about this Epiphany introit for Sunday. I'm talking to him late Saturday night as he's working on his sermon for the funeral and for the two church services. In it, he says, in the midst of darkness, light dawns to give us hope. I said, like the darkness beneath those shards of the burned plane that the crane is lifting out and that the people or investigators are so carefully examining. Yes, he said, that profound darkness of death, evil, tragedy, or what the Red Cross called disaster. It is in this context of darkness of Paul's life that, like under the bright midday Syrian sun, a brightness comes into his life, brighter than that sun. Prior in the Epiphany lessons, we have the star which leads the wise men to the incarnation of Jesus. The glorious light in heaven where the angels speak to the shepherds to tell them to go to Bethlehem. And now we are led to Jesus Christ in Paul's experience in his conversion, where he recalls in his own mind, as he tells earlier in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, as well as in the 9th chapter where Luke tells about it, or the 22nd chapter where he gives another speech to the Jews, that he has been zealous in this persecuting of the Christians. And in that darkness, the bright light comes and he looks at it. And through this text, we are to look at it. And we see here that which the Jews had priorly, in a prior sense, convinced St. Paul, that the body of the crucified Jesus had been stolen away. And now, that risen Christ appears. And he looks at that light, and his life is changed. Metanoia, epistrophane, it's turned around. High noon on the road to Damascus, a high time for a higher calling. Why are you kicking against the goats in your destructive manner of life for the limited, selfish, particularistic goals of the Jews? Interpreted to mean, why can't you follow the inclusive love which Jesus has revealed to him? The love and power of which Paul would write later, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you have been persecuting. Get up and go. In this text, it's apostello. In another account, it's get up and go. Get up, I send you. I appoint you. Go to Damascus, and there it'll be arranged with Ananias, and you'll be baptized. Paul gets in touch with God in this event. He prays to God. He fasts. He's baptized. And later he can write an answer to the question which is asked often by those who are taking instruction in our churches. Is what do you believe in your church about the Lord's Supper? We believe what the Bible teaches. On the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. He took the wine. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is the true body of Christ. This is the true blood of Christ. St. Paul was in touch with the living, risen Christ. Can that change people's lives today? Are they in the context to know that they can come in touch with God? The guardsman in the motel was trying to explain to me, as we looked out over about 150 feet away into that cavity where the plane fell and burned the motel and the restaurant. I said, how did this happen? He says, the plane was going through the touch and go maneuvers at the airport over here, just a couple miles away. Flying at low altitude, it circled here and lost altitude and settled down, just missing the Shell station by the motel where I was, into the restaurant and motel adjacent. It was a touch and go exercise, but here it was touch and no go. It was, as the pastor said, a crisis for the city, because so many from that city were lost, as well as those from Louisville, Kentucky. And there the big TV truck was from Louisville to try to communicate the meaning and interpret it of this tragic disaster. Can anybody be brought to a close relationship to God here? One of our seminarians who studied here recently, as I interviewed him on the radio, said, I was a Navy pilot. My wife and I and my best friend, Navy pilot, and his wife would have Bible study together. We were going through these touch-and-go maneuvers, flying in formation. He went ahead of me, and touched down first, and a strong crosswind spun his plane, and there's a ball of fire, and he says, I gave it all this plane had to go up over the top of him. And I went down and circled around, and when I came back, the fire truck was putting out the flames of the burned-out plane. My wife and I went to his widow to comfort her. It was in that context that I felt it was the will of God that I would spend the rest of my life bringing this comforting message to those in need. Look up and listen. Get up and go. In fact, that's why I was down there in Evansville. A couple years ago, a minister who had baptized a little boy there when he was a baby gave me the name of that boy is now 6 years old. He says, I sort of apologize for giving you a name of a fellow who wants to study for the ministry who's so young. So I wrote to him. His mother answered. I just met his mother Sunday at this church service. Now this past September, the boy is 8 years old. He wrote me a letter. Dear Dr. Zietlow, I'm the one you wrote to 2 years ago. I'm now 8 years old. I still want to be a minister. He's hung in there for 2 years. I want to be a lamp pilot. You know, the missionary said, go where the cars can't go in northern Canada. My hobby is collecting business cards. So I helped collect business cards. I want to thank you for those you gave. My wife and I took about 150 down. I was asked after church service, do you have anything more to say? I said, yeah. The real reason I'm here is I wanted to meet Aaron. Aaron Aldridge. I'm trying to keep him in touch with God, with letters. In fact, one of the seminarian's son here is also 8 years old, has written to him. I just found out that he'd written to him this past Sunday. Aaron's mother said, oh yes, he's written. And Aaron's answered his letter. A pastor on the West Coast gave me his card, and he wrote a little message on the back. He says, dear Aaron, I was 6 years old when I was led to decide to study for the ministry. It's the noblest work you could ever do. May God richly bless you in your preparation and in your ministry. And so people are kept in touch with God in this calling to bring the message of turning darkness into light, of bringing the message of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ and of his resurrection. In fact, the first pastor who came to the scene of the wreck in Evansville got the message to the press there, we grieve for you. Jesus Christ is there with us in the suffering of our existence through his church and through his servants in his church. The final promise in this message, which Paul is to bring, is that we are to receive the inheritance of the saints by faith in Jesus Christ. And we can see this helping people. They do have a need. In my first parish in Vancouver, British Columbia, I had a young woman taking instruction to become a member of the church. Red-haired, freckled-faced young woman from London, England. She'd married a Royal Canadian Air Force pilot during the Second World War as he was stationed in London on bombing trips to Europe. They had a couple children, came back to Saskatchewan after the war, to Vancouver, where he was a pilot and then navigator for the Canadian Pacific Airlines. He came to church with her, he had his flight uniform on. After the worship service, went with a flight loaded with American military men to the war front in Korea. The plane was lost off over the land of lost planes over Alaska. I called on the widow. Ladies from the church were back in the kitchen. They had brought food to help her. because since the plane was lost, there was no insurance determined yet to help her. She had no relatives in Canada or the United States, and the church became her helper. Her eyes were swollen and red from grief and crying and shock. She came in and sat on the sofa, and I sat there. I said, "Mrs. Kaushar, in our last lesson on the creed we studied, I believe in a resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting." She raised her head, looked me in the eyes, and said, "I believe that. St. Paul believed that. He says, I have run the race, I've finished the course, and now lies stored for me the crown of righteousness. I believe that. Amen."